Musicians Come and Play on the way next here on Chasm. Larry Razavi and his out-of-town checks with our theme, Musicians Come and Play, wrapping up right there. Means it's time for another edition of our Musicians Come and Play program here on KASM. And it is our 395th edition of our Musicians Come and Play program here on KASM. And I did not check my number ahead of time. I keep getting that doo-doo-doo message that the number has been changed. So we're going to have to try to get a hold of Dane here in just a moment. So in the meantime, we're going to put some music on by Dane's Dutchman. He does a great job of this one. One called the Concertina Holiday. Dane's Dutchman. Thank you. Oh, good stuff for you there. Dean's Dutchman. Dean on the concertina there with the Concertina Holiday Polka. Coming up on 10 minutes now before the hour of 12 noon, it's Landler time with Dean's Dutchman, one called Artie's Landler. Dean's Dutchman with one called Artie's Landler as we come up on 8 minutes before the hour of 12 noon, 57 degrees here in central Minnesota. You're listening to your dependable neighbor for all of central Minnesota, KASM Albany, 1150 AM, KDDG Albany, 105.5 HD2, 107.7 on your FM dial, streaming on the World Wide Web at mychasm.com. Again, 8 minutes before 12 and 57 now. We're losing degrees. We were up to 59, now down to 57. We do have our guest on the line. We're going to bring him in right now and say good morning to Mr. Dane Molden. Dane, how are you doing this morning?
I'm all right. Good morning to you and good morning to our listeners.
You bet. And are you at home today down in Sleepy Eye?
Yep, we're around home. We're taking in the effects of... Second weekend of Oktoberfest celebrating here around New Ulm, next town over to Sleepy Eye. We performed out there yesterday and last weekend, and it was a very nice turnout, and the weather was beautiful this weekend. A little bit drizzly last weekend, but everybody still was out to celebrate and take in the sights and sounds and tastes, and it was fun.
You bet. And I don't know. I got hooked on New Ulm many years ago, but boy, that is a polka town, isn't it? They really know how to do it.
Right. And it was, you know, a number of years ago in the last 5 or 8 years or so, there was a ranking of the Oktoberfest celebrations in the United States, and I believe New Ulm was in the top 10, and it definitely helps pull in some extra tourist attraction type things. You know, people come from all over the place to check it out. It's really pretty nostalgic and historic, and it's really got that, you know, Austrian, Lower Germany flavor.
Yeah. It really does. We got to see you. You were playing last Saturday morning for a time on, was it Central Avenue over there?
Right, yep, on Center Street.
Center downtown. Street, yep.
Yep.
And that was great. And then you played later that day at one of the hotels?
Right. We had a busy schedule last weekend. There was there's some venues downtown that have live music that we take part in, and we were on Center Street, and then later in the evening we moved out to the one of the hotels, the Best Western Plus, and that's a highlight of some of the attendees for Oktoberfest. That's the only place, so to speak, with an actual dance floor. So if there's someone looking to get out there and dance, the Best Western is about the best option to do that these days in New Ulm for Oktoberfest. So that's usually our dancing crowd out there.
And this weekend, it's all pretty much at the brewery, huh, at Shell's?
There was as much stuff in the venues downtown. There just wasn't the activity on the street. Shell's hosted entertainment this weekend, which they didn't last weekend. They had events, but not live music, as far as I understand. And then the Best Western had entertainment all day yesterday. Again, there was the Concord Singers, based out of New Ulm, which is a German singing group of a group of members, maybe 20 or so strong.
Okay.
And then there was Leon Olsen show and us, Danes Dutchman. And then later in the evening was the Bachfest Boys.
Okay.
At
wow.
the Best Western. So
yeah.
there's a shuttle around town and stuff, and you can check everything out via the shuttle. And I think they even make a stop out to a winery outside of New Ulm a little ways. So,
yeah, fun times. That's really great. Well,
right.
Dane, that was, I mean, that's water over the dam now. So people want to hear about you. And so take us back. Were you born and raised there, and how you got started in the music?
Right. It's a strong, you know, background in this region to be, you know, familiar with the sounds of the polka music, and our family was heavily involved in performing on both our maternal and paternal sides, so grandpas and uncles, and it goes back several generations of being musically involved with the polka style and the New Ulm polka style of music. I started playing a concertina young, at the age of about 6 years old, and then, of course, was going to school, and our family was active as dairy farmers and farm row cropping, so it's always busy, but we made time for music. Our mother made sure that everybody had a chance to be involved with music if they wanted to be, but promoting it, you know, piano, band, stuff like that, to learn and be more familiar with the rules and theories of music in general. And we probably organized as a group performing dances or get-togethers for polka music at about the year of 2000. So we're about 20 years into the scene of performing now, and we're still pretty centralized, I'd say, in the upper Midwest. We've played some jobs in the Dakotas, Nebraska, Iowa, Wisconsin, Minnesota territory mainly. And a lot of stuff is in south central Minnesota. There's just a strong following and promotion of the style of music in this region, and especially around New Ulm.
Okay.
The next generation of, you know, some of our band consists of our dad, Fred, playing a tuba, and a sister, Lori, drumming, another sister, Lisa, playing keyboard and piano, and myself on the concertina. We normally are out and about as a four-piece group. If it doesn't work for a four-piece group, or if I'm playing a solo gig or something with another bunch of friends or musicians, sometimes I'll entertain as the Dutchman and Friends or something like that. And it's still the kind of the same music, but some different players. But the one of the neat highlights or key points at this stage is that the two sisters in the band both have some little kids that are coming up and kind of taken part of the changing of the guard, if you'd say. Laurie has a little guy, Kaiser, that's three and a half years old, and he's got a little tiny concertina and a trumpet and a guitar at this stage, and he sings along with some songs. He's pretty good at understanding, memorizing the lyrics and stuff like that. And Lisa has a little boy, Adrian, and a daughter, Isla, and they're playing and coming along with Mom when it works out, too. Adrian's concentrated on playing a trumpet right now. And Lisa and her husband have kind of started another entertainment phase with their own efforts or their core family, and they're going out playing a few jobs also as a, you know, as another entertainment group. So
yeah,
that's fun to see too.
It is. It really is. Well, Dean, if we can ask you to hold that thought for just a moment, we've reached 12 o'clock here in central Minnesota. Time to read the ad for our sponsor, the St. Joe Meat Market, and then I'll come back to you and we'll continue the conversation, if that's all right.
Sounds good.
All righty. So greetings to one and all from the St. Joe Meat Market. It's Oktoberfest and Germanfest time around central Minnesota this time of the year as well. The St. Joe Meat Market is prepared with a nice supply of smoked German-style brats, smoked Bauernwurst brats, smoked Knackwurst brats, and many more others on hand to center your own Oktoberfest around. This week's Brat of the Week is a double feature, especially for family weekend at the colleges of St. John's and St. Benedict's here in central Minnesota. The smoked St. John's Johnny Brats and the St. Ben's Blazer Brats are the double feature. The smoked Johnny Brats, made up of lean pork and beef, the special Johnny Brat seasoning, real apples, wild rice, and maple syrup. All of these ingredients combine to make one of the most interesting and flavorful brats ever created. Meanwhile, the Blazer Brats start with a blend of lean pork and beef, seasoned mildly with a mild Italian seasoning, with real sun-dried tomatoes added. Both of these brats have become regulars at the St. Joe Meat Market. Come in this week, take 30 cents off each package at the checkout counter all week long in limited quantities. And also this weekend, the last planned brat sale out in front of the St. Joe Meat Market. Hosting, cooking, and serving at that brat sale will be the St. Joe Men's Knights of Columbus. What a great job they always do. Always more in-store specials at the St. Joe Meat Market. Like us on Facebook. Look for us on the web, www.stjosephmeatmarket.com, or call 320-363-4913 for more information. And that's the St. Joe Meat Market. And thank you for your patronage. Dane, for being our guest on the program. We send you out that nice meat package along with Chasm. We get that out to you, priority mail. Hope that you and the family around you, everybody, enjoys it in good health. How has that been for you?
Sounds great.
Good, good. So you've been known to indulge in a brat or two at some of these fests over the years?
It's one of the favorite hobbies of mine when I go to a fest to check out all of those sorts of events, the venues, and whether it's a food truck or a brat or whatever they've got. Sauerkraut soup we had yesterday in New Ulm, that was pretty tasty. So
you bet. We had some of those sauerkraut shots last week after the parade. KNUJ was passing out, so that was fun too. Good stuff.
Yep.
You bet. Well, Dane, so you got started at about the age of six. Concertina, was that the instrument of your choice, or is that what they put you on, or how did that work out?
You know, we did cover it one other interview, but I'll buzz through it real quick here again. When I was 6 years old, we on the Easter vacation from my grade school, I remember going to visit Christy Hingle.
Okay.
In New Ulm. Of course, at that time, he was the manufacturer of the Hingle name brand concertina, and it was probably my dad's goal or mission to maybe, you know, physically get a concertina around that would be a smaller size for a little person to play around with. And Christy was pretty good about offering borrow a loaner unit, and he sent us home with a little double reed Pro Queen.
Okay.
And to try, and that's what I kind of started with. My dad had played tuba in his younger years with his dad playing concertina, and at that time he took a notion to learn enough concertina to kind of help and guide me to get started, and he played about, I don't know, a handful of tunes to be able to, you know, just foster the concept of this is what you do with it.
Okay.
And we did end up purchasing that concertina. I still have it. And from there, yeah, we moved along through. In high school, I participated in band and played a number of different instruments. I started on a clarinet and moved through the different families of kind of different instruments. I played some, I did some bass, some tuba, sousaphone work in the marching band. And now I play a little bit of tuba once in a while with some of our other polka friends around here once in a while. We'll trade off. There's a friend, Adam Munsterman from St. James, Minnesota, that learned to play concertina after bumping into me and my dad at a small gathering, a party at a private home, and he took up an interest and started playing, and that's probably about 15 years ago, and now he's doing some venues around towns around this region also, and I'll try and meet up with him when it works and fits, and we'll just switch off instruments
from concertina
to tuba, and works well as a little duo. You know, we do try and, you know, sing some songs or crowd participation type thing and tell some funny stories or jokes along the way and try and pass good times.
Just goes along with the whole concept that polka music is happy music, and that's what we're out there to do, is entertain. So, yeah.
Right.
Great. Very good. So in the process, Dane, did you get to learn to read music, or do you play mostly by ear?
I learned to read music, you know, for those to understand the scales and progressions and notations of signature music to a high school or a band competition level during my school years.
Okay.
So I can read notes and things like that. And a lot of the concertina tunes now, some of them, you know, you can pick up by just being familiar with the instrument and hearing, recognizing the chord progressions and stuff. And at least for me, I'm able to do that with some of them.
Very good.
And I can read a sheet of concertina music, of course, has its own theory behind it. It's
symbols.
Bunch of notes with numbers or symbols, right?
Yep.
So.
Yep. There you go.
Yep.
Very good. Well, you've got the one recording out so far. Are you thinking about another one yet?
You know, we were working on it. John Helgett, Johnny Helgett Band, is a not too far away distant relative to my mother. And we did a recording with Johnny Helgett in January of, I want to say, 2019. And it was a group of musicians that pretty much are all somehow connected through family relation or neighbors. And a lot of young guys. There's Johnny recorded with his current band of what's around and been playing the last number of years. And then his grandson, Nick Stodick, did a bunch on there. A guy named Dave Cramber did some concertina work. Nathan Fredrickson, who's married to my sister, Lisa. Adam Munsterman and myself. So it's kind of a group of, five or so-ish different concertina performers with kind of the same background of support musicians with drums and a tuba and a little guitar and a piano. So we got that one out as a group with each of the people kind of doing a few songs on there as solos, one or two group songs that Johnny was kind of notoriously famous for playing heavily.
Sure.
And then Nathan and Lisa put out a CD following Johnny. You know, in the next little time frame, working on it kind of at the same time. And we were going to be working on ours at the next time. And a cold snap came, and it was followed by the global pandemic, and everything got a little intense. So we're back at the stage now where it's probably more realistic to concentrate on that for a project. And it's been 10-ish years since we've done our recording entitled Numbers from New Ulm. So there's quite a few people commenting that, you know, another volume or the next one is long overdue. So
there you go. I would chime in with that. I really enjoy your CD. I really like playing it, and you do a great job. It's just fun. You've become one of the guys. I mean, when you talk about the polka bands out of New Ulm, and you talk about concertina players from that area, you were one of them that comes up immediately. So that's a special thing.
It's neat, and it's an honor to be recognized in that version. And I'm a normal person otherwise too. You know, I live a regular day job. We're still farming and we're still in the dairy industry. So we do a lot of juggling of the two worlds needs or a bunch of different things happen all in the same days. And it's busy season. Harvest is busy and it's a busy playing season. So there's a, it takes a lot of flexibility and scheduling, a lot of thought process. So you, sometimes when I'm playing, you know, we're thinking about what we got to do to, you know, correct issues at the farm or with the operation, with the harvest, whatever's happening. And when I'm sitting out in the tractor or in the barn doing my chores, I'm thinking about, well, we got to get this and this and this in place to be able to make the playing job work.
You know? Absolutely. You bet. And that's usually the life of a musician. Very few of them make their entire living or career on music. It usually winds up to be a shared thing. So, and that's great. Have you become the owner of the farm? Are you still living with mom and dad?
I was able to transition into the ownership stage since the last time we visited. And dairy industry and farming in general is the same, and you know, in the last decades it's a roller coaster. I mean, there's some good short little lived good spurts of prosperity, and then there seems to always be a downslide and a lull for a while. So you kind of, you know, we've been riding the roller coaster that way for quite a while. But it's a satisfaction point to be able to have gotten to a more comfortable stage to be a owner than a tenant.
Yep.
And it's an ongoing experience. Everything keeps riding that roller coaster. And of course, in the last year, with everything that everyone has been through with the pandemics and the shutdowns and the mandates, and oh my goodness, it's been extra volatility.
Yeah,
for sure.
You bet. I keep saying I'm nearly 70, and I've lived my whole life without this pandemic up until the last 2 years. I sure could have done without it for these 2 years, too.
I don't think you're alone in your feelings on that point.
Yeah, for sure. So how many acres do you run down there, Dean?
You know, we're row cropping between 500 and 600 acres, and the animals units go up and down a little bit. Right now we're scaled back a little ways, so we're selling some cash grains versus at one point in our operation it took a vast majority of our land base just to feed all the livestock and provide bedding and all the things that are necessary that way. So
sure.
We're pumping milk. We're still milking over 100 cows, and
we're doing
that primarily just me and my dad. And
wow.
Dad's in his low 60s age-wise. I just turned 35 at the end of September. So we're healthy and able to work, but sometimes it's not always fun or the number one choice. But it is a lot of work, and it takes a lot of dedication, and there's a lot of responsibility.
Absolutely.
It takes that kind of an attitude or realization to be able to produce a wholesome product and keep your animals healthy and well and be basically maintaining or growing, and if it's not working that way, then you need to realize that, you know, you gotta change something or do something different. So
there you go. What was it like down there for you, your area this year with the drought? Pretty much statewide, but some pockets did get the needed precipitation. How are the crops looking this year?
Yeah, in our specific region, we endured a couple different periods of time where I remember specifically from May 20th to July 1st in our most of the region that covers our crop base, we had 1/100th May 20th to July 1st of measurable precipitation. So it was a really long stretch with just nothing for moisture. Our crop yields in general, what I'm hearing is, there's a few spots that did catch a few more rains that are they're comfortable, or they're like, it's okay. We're looking at kind of a half of our normal as far as bushel yields or whatever.
Sure.
We have some marginal grass. It's kind of sandy loams down here in some regions, and it requires maintenance. There's some mechanical irrigation structures in our region. We do not have any mechanical irrigation, but so our sand ground or our lighter soils kind of dried off, and we went and harvested what we needed to there for forages. And then another week later, a pretty nasty storm cycle came through with some damaging winds and 70-mile-an-hour type situations, and that flattened out quite a bit of the better looking crops. Everything was brittle because it was so stressed from the lack of rainfall, so
yeah,
kind of all tied together. So it hasn't been a real rewarding year, but then again, we're very thankful to have the ability to still be participating and operating. We do have a crop out there. It's just not a good, great one.
Sure, sure. And if you're at all like me, I mean, I don't farm. I am a meat person, but sometimes you get a little stress there too. And so when I would get a dance job or so, say on a Friday night after a stressful day or so, for me, the music was such a stress relief. I just I can just let it all go and have a good time with the crowd. And so for me, it was a good thing. Do you find it the same way?
Yep, that's one of the common themes, I think, of most musicians, is to understand the underlying common point. Everybody came to this, you know, joint place and a joint effort with the same things in mind. We're going to kind of concentrate on entertainment and the exchange of good things and not worry about everything else for a little while. Pass some good times, listen to some music, visit with friends or meet up with people you maybe haven't seen for a while that you enjoy their company, that type of thing. So that's basically what it's about. It's a social event, and hopefully everybody's able to capture the benefits of those situations. We work hard to try and provide them, so hopefully it's worth it to other people as well.
You bet. As you were progressing, Dane, who were the concertina players that you looked up to? Who did you try to pattern yourself after, or who did you whose music did you like to listen to?
You know, at first it took a while to kind of get to a stage to learn to appreciate how everybody had a different style. But you go from band to band, and they develop their own sort of a sound or a twist or a presentation on the same song. They do it a little different, or that group of musicians all come together. So in our region here, KNUJ played so many different bands, and, you know, you go back to some of their most commonly heard on, say, Dinner Bell Hour or on the airwaves somewhere would be like Whoopi John or the Six Fat Dutchmen.
Mm-hmm.
They went through that set of New Ulm history, and then it progressed out to another couple decades of music where, you know, I listened to a lot of different people. I enjoyed the presentation of Wee Willie's years of music, and he kind of had two different worlds, two different bands. He was up to Moorhead and up around the cities. And 20 different volumes of recordings, the Deutschmeisters. Growing up, my uncle Leon Helgett had a band, so I was more around his style, which was a little different than everybody else. And we mentioned Johnny Helgett.
Mm-hmm.
Very different players. Carl Hartwig and Carl and the Country Dutchman out of Wisconsin was influential in my younger years of being a promoter of a younger musician. I remember going to the Given Polka Days, and he would have me up to the stage and perform some tunes along with his band. And he did our first recording, one of the first ones. There's two actual recordings. There's one that's released. So there's maybe a nugget of surprise or element later on down the road. Someday maybe I'll get around and collect all that other stuff from the first recording studio sessions when I was about 10 or 13 years old and
Super.
Include some of that on another volume. But
you bet.
I enjoyed listening to Sylvester Liebel's band, Sil Liebel, the Jolly Swiss Boys, and the New Jolly Swiss Boys. Just pretty much a lot of everybody in the upper Midwest was what I was fond of, but being able to hear each group's sounds or songs that made them, you heard the tune and you knew right away who it was and the way they were performing it. So,
sure, you bet. Well, what are you playing these days for concertinas now, Dean?
I'm still primarily using my Hingle. It's a 1974 key of C Hingle concertina is what I play 95% of the jobs.
Okay.
I have collected a few along the path of playing music through different connections. Some were purchased, some were asked if I'd take them and play them and check them out and do different things. And so I've got a handful of different boxes. It's fun to play them at maybe not a big dance job when they're not as good of a quality of a machine or they need some tuning or whatever, but I'll utilize the other ones when I can. And
sure.
Most of the time I'm still using that Hingle box that I was put towards that at the Given Polka Fest also when Pete and Paul Winnegar were performing in the main ballroom in the late 90s, and the original owner of that machine was ready to sell it. And Paul Winnegar said, you know, there's a young guy here that maybe he needs one, or he hoped that maybe I could utilize one in the future. So Paul reached out to my parents and put us in connection, and that guy was from Lafayette, Minnesota, so not too far from New Ulm, and he worked with us to be able to make it work out and
awesome.
get it to be there.
That's so awesome. Dean, if you pick up the concertina, what's the first song that comes out of it?
Boy, it's different every time. You know, for a long time, we did a lot of the Yankee Waltz as a good tempo check and sound check, too. And the way it worked out to perform that song, we played the Yankee Waltz quite a bit to start a job. And then depending where we are, if we want to start with a polka, if I'm out of the region, I might start with the New Ulm polka. And if I'm around New Ulm, it's the opposite, same effect. We're right here in New Ulm. Here we go with the New Ulm polka.
Okay. Very good. Very good. Well, our time is just about running down, Dean, but we really want to thank you. I usually ask everyone before we let them go if there's a memory that they would like to share. And you're getting out there now where you've got a few years behind you, probably got a few memories over the years. One that you want to share with the listeners at this time?
Sure. I was out in the southeast part of South Dakota a number of years back, and we were at a stage of a Oktoberfest event where people were requesting popular songs, like stuff that they're used to hearing, the Blue Skirt Waltz or certain named songs. And a young little person comes up forward to the stage, probably about 3 to 4 years old, little girl. And I thought, oh boy, this is going to test my knowledge here, because you know, a person this age might not be asking for a song that I'm going to be familiar with. So I'm sweating bullets here. And she comes up to the stage and says, I have a request. I said, okay, what is it? She says, my request, would you please stop playing that thing? And I repeated what she requested to the crowd, and of course everybody was roaring with laughter. And I said, okay, and why is that? And she says, because I'm here with my grandfather, and he says we're not leaving until you're through. And of course the crowd roared with laughter again.
Uh-huh. So, very only a 3-year-old could
humorous.
Come up with that. Yeah,
everybody appreciated the scenario. Yep,
you bet.
Neat.
Well, very good. Well, Dean, there's so much more we could talk about. We'll have to put that off to another interview again sometime, but we really appreciated having you. Thank you so much, and the good Lord willing, you and I are here down the road. We'll do it again sometime, if that's all right with you.
Sounds like a plan to me.
All righty. So with that, we'll let you run. I'll talk to you off the air in just a moment here. And so there he goes, Mr. Dane Molden, Dane's Dutchman, our 395th guest here on our Musicians Come and Play program. Don't go away. We've got more great music coming up by Dane's Dutchman in just moments. Thank you. Larry Razavian is Out of Town Checks with our theme wrapping up right there. Musicians Come and Play, wrapping up our 395th edition of our Musicians Come and Play program here on KASM. As we come up on 26 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon, 57 degrees here in central Minnesota. Still cloud cover. It looks like we've been getting a little more drizzle here in central Minnesota. Music continues right now with Dane's Dutchman, and here's one he talked about, one called the New Ulm Polka. Dutchman, one called the New Ulm Polka. And boy, I really like his style. He's got a laid-back, easy-going style. Sounds really great. More music on the way with Dane's Dutchman. It's waltz time, one called the Dorf Waltz. Thank you. Queen's Dutch Band, one called the Dwarf Waltz, taking us to 28 minutes before the hour of 1 o'clock. 57, our current temperature here in Albany, in the first portion of our musical treat for dancing feet, and that's always brought to us by Jeannie B's Tours out of Freeport, Minnesota. You bet. Jeannie Bonfig and the gang over there, Art and Arliss and all of them. Yes, great, great people. So, Jeannie B's Tours will take you to great shows this season. They have been. And starting with November 2nd, the Branson Country Christmas at the Paramount in St. Cloud. Then the zany, silly church basement ladies are back with the Loony Lutherans. Hold the Lutefisk. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas on December 9th and 21st. Both tours include lunch and time. The flagship Bachman's Holiday Store in Richfield. Now, these two shows are in the Ames Theater in Bloomington, so do not miss the magical Medora Christmas show and delicious lunch on December 17th at the Ives Theater in Burnsville. The Texas Tenors, Deep in the Heart of Christmas, will complete your holidays on December 28th, once again at the Paramount. All tours will include Christmas present door prizes and festive treats on the coach. Jeannie B's Tours will make all of your holiday outings a merry time. Call Jeannie at 320-345-1581. Call her today to plan your tons of fun in 21 tours. You bet. And, yeah, we had the opportunity to travel with Jeannie a couple of times now this summer. We went out to Medora, North Dakota. Great trip there earlier in the summer. And then went to the Chanhassen with Jeannie. And seeing the Music Man. So two awesome trips. And yeah, Jeannie calls it cabinitis. People were suffering from it from that pandemic thing last year into this year. So people are ready to travel. And they've had some wonderful trips, like I mentioned, and still more to come. So be sure to give Jeannie a call. Check out her itinerary. You can always catch Jeannie's schedule in some of the newspapers. And, of course, what she provides for me. So, again, Christmas in the Ozarks, that's coming up November 14th through the 19th. Those Colors of the Ozarks, October 22nd through the 29th. And the Eureka Springs Passion Play. And then November 28th through the 3rd, Music Mountains and Mistletoe in Branson. So those are some of the shows that Jeannie's been talking about. And you'll want to get on board the bus. Again, to... make those reservations. Give Jeannie a call. Her phone number, 320-249-8149. Jeannie B's Tours, proudly bringing us the first portion of our musical treat for dancing feet here on Chasm. 26 minutes before the hour, 1 o'clock. Our temperature reading at 57 degrees. More music on the way with Dane's Dutchman. Another great polka tune, one called the Champion Valley Polka. Thank you. Dutchman, one called the Champion Valley Polka. Here we go with a nice waltz tune, Hoolery Number 1, Dane's Dutchman. Music by Dane's Dutchman, a nice Hoolerite number there, one called the Hoolerite Number 1 Waltz. Another great polka tune with Dane's Dutchman, it is the Green is Green Polka. Green's Dutchman. Great recording there of the Green is Green Polka, taking us into the final portion of our musical treat for Dancing Feet. And that is always brought to us by Kevin's Countryside, home of the Hustler brand zero-turn lawnmowers, located 6 miles northwest of St. Joe on County Road 3. The Hustler, the original zero-turn lawnmower, helps eliminate the extra trimming and mowing of your lawn. Kevin, of course, with new Hustlers in stock all of the time. So check out the different engine and mowing deck sizes available to you. Baggers and other attachments available as well. And, of course, when we're talking about the different sizes, well, you can get everything from that little Raptor all the way up to the Super Z's and beyond. Kevin does repair work on all makes and models, so check him out for your blades to be sharpened. How about belts and hoses? Maybe your lubricants need changing. He can do it all for you. For more information, give him a call at 320-363-7459, 320-363-7459. And yes, my good buddy John telling me this week, don't forget that Eagle power line of equipment. John listens pretty closely to our ads. And yeah, we did add that this year. Kevin, you know, Kevin's a great guy. And you get out there, you visit with him, you picked it up right away. Now, he researches this equipment, so he's not going to sell junk. And Kevin checked into this Eagle power line of equipment that's battery operated, 56 volt. And he said it's good. I bought one of them from Kevin, and I certify that it is good. I've used mine many times now as a weed trimmer, as a pole saw, as a lawn edger. That power head is just awesome. Battery lasts a long, long time, and nice to work with, nice to operate with. Better than the gas-powered ones, because you're running out of gas at the wrong times always, it seems like. Just when you're furthest from the gas pump. And, of course, the electric ones, well, you're limited by a cord. So this ARC 56-volt lithium battery, it lasts a long time. Nice charger that comes with it. Just put it on the charger when you're done, and it's ready to go the next time you need to grab it. They do make all sorts of equipment with this lithium battery. So you can get a hedge trimmer. Maybe you're looking for a small handheld blower or maybe the backpack blower. Snowblower, how about a walk-behind push lawnmower, or the string trimmer, chainsaw, they make them all. So Kevin can steer you in the right direction no matter what your needs. So check him out for your battery-powered equipment and your Hustler zero-turn lawnmower. Again, he's located 6 miles northwest of St. Joe on County Road 3. Just look for the big yellow and orange sign hanging from the ditch in off the post there. And a nice big yard to try that equipment out there at Kevin's Countryside. Proudly bringing us the final portion of our musical treat for Dancing Feet here on KASM. Music continues right now with Dane's Dutchman. Here's one called Linden's Landler, the Linden Landler. Thank you. Danes Dutchman with one called the Lindenlandler. Nice modern tune. This is going to feature Dane's sister Lisa on the vocal. One called the Ramblin' Rose, Please Release Me medley. Number there by Danes Dutchman. Yes, Ramblin' Rose, and Please Release Me. 9 minutes now before the hour of 1 o'clock, and we have a temperature reading of 57 degrees here in central Minnesota. Old time polka time coming up with Danes Dutchman, and this one, let's see what we have for you this time. One called Grandpa's Polka, Danes Dutchman. Thank you. Grandpa's Polka, Dane's Dutchman. Boy, nice tempo there. Just gets those toes a-tapping. You just feel like dancing. You bet. Once again, Landler time. Here's a pretty Landler, one called the Barefoot Landler, Dane's Dutchman. Number there by Dane's Dutchman, one called the Barefoot Landler. Time to wrap up another edition of our musical treat for dancing feet. We're going to do that with one called the Yankee Waltz, one that Dane mentioned that they like to start the evening with, or one of their signature songs. It's the Yankee Waltz. Thank you. Dane Zutchman, one called the Yankee Waltz, wrapping up another edition of our musical treat for Dancing Feet here on KASM.